In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I'm reading right now from James 3, verse 16. Beloved, where jealousy and selfish ambition exists, there is disorder in every foul practice. I'm telling you that jealousy is an awful thing to take into your being. We start being jealous of what people have. And you know what? We have no idea what they're carrying. We have no idea their cross that they're carrying. But we look at the things that they have and we say, you know, I'm jealous over that. I wish I had it. Please, jealousy leads to disorder. There is disorder and foul practice when we are jealous. Never be jealous. Never be jealous. Thank God for what you have rather than what you don't have. Thank God that you can see and you can jump and you can hear. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. I'm telling you, it's not in jealousy that we gain from God, but it's in thanksgiving that we gain from God. Thank you, God, for what you've given me. Thank you, God, that you've given me a mouth. Thank you, God, you've given me a radio station. Thank you, God. 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 I'm reading from Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. It's as simple as that. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and the person that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. It's so simple. It's so simple. We want to ask according to the will of God. It is God's will that we have health. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is God's will that we have health. We can ask for health. Why? Because it is God's will. He tells us, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. I'm telling you, ask and seek and knock, and the door will be opened unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. What man is there of you whom if his son asks for a piece of bread, would hand him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts and good things to them that ask him? And it says in Luke, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for it? Oh, we need the Holy Spirit, Lord. We need the Spirit of Jesus. We need that that Spirit would fill us from within. We need the Holy Spirit, Lord. Not only do we need good things from you, Lord, we need the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, we are impotent. Without the Holy Spirit, we don't know what to do. That's why that baptism of the Holy Spirit is so necessary for people. Wonderful Holy Spirit leading us to Jesus. Wonderful Holy Spirit makes Jesus our contemporary. Wonderful Holy Spirit gives us the power to do the great acts of God. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall be healed. It's all about the Holy Spirit. How much more, it tells us in Luke, will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Much more. Verse 12, therefore all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, you should also do to them, For this is the law and the prophets, the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But Jesus said something different on the night before he died. He said, love your enemies. He said, love one another as I have loved you. How has he loved us? Even unto death, we are to love one another even as Jesus has loved us, even unto death. How can we do that without the Holy Spirit? We can't. We can't. We need to know that it's all right to love the people and expect that they love us, and we give them back that same love. But then again, he tells us to love our enemies in Matthew's gospel. He tells us to love those who persecute us. He tells us to love as he has loved in John's gospel. It goes way beyond the golden rule. Enter into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there will go and find it. I'm telling you, the straight gate, the narrow gate, is Jesus himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the narrow gate. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life. And few there are that find it. That's something. He says most people go through the big gate, and they're headed toward hell. They're headed toward hell. Who saves us from hell? Jesus saves us from hell. Where did he save us from hell? On the cross and in his blood, he saves us from hell. We don't want to go through the big gate. We want to go through the narrow gate. The narrow gate is Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Anyone who follows me will have the light of life. I'm telling you, we need to go in with and through Jesus. He is the narrow gate that leads to eternal life. He gives eternal life to those who believe in him. No one who comes to me will I ever reject, he tells us in John 7. No one who comes to me will I ever reject, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And it is the will of him who sent me, this is the will of God, that I should lose nothing of what he has given me, but that I should raise it up on the last day. It is God's will that he not lose us. It is God's will that he keep us by grace. It is God's will that we go through the narrow gate. Few go through the narrow gate. You know, most people are heading downstream into perdition. That's why the gospel needs to be preached. Yesterday we had a baptism, and you know, the people were lovely, but many of them didn't know what to do in the church. They were talking to each other, and so I spoke about faith. I spoke about baptism being a life. I spoke about giving our life to Jesus. I spoke about having Jesus as our Lord and Savior. I spoke about those things. And you know what? People were listening. People were listening. These were people that hadn't beckoned the door of the church in a long time. They might be better than I am, but they had not been faithful in the way that they need to be faithful. And I wonder how many people that I spoke to yesterday really are thinking about the things I spoke about. Because some of them responded. Some of them responded. I said to people, if you haven't come to confession in 500 years or a long time, I will bless you. So come up for a blessing. And you know what? Many of them came, not many, but some of them came up for a blessing. I wasn't trying to keep Holy Communion from people. But you know what? We need to know that confession is very important, that we don't just receive Holy Communion and not confess our sins in 500 years, if you know what I mean. We need to confess our sins and to expect that the Lord forgives our sins. Maybe they've never heard that, but they heard it from me yesterday. I wasn't mean. I wasn't mean. There was a beautiful baby. I wasn't mean. I just was very, very truthful, and I think I did it with love. I didn't do it to hurt those people. I did it with love. And that's the way we need to act, with love. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. One person said to me, I was a wolf in sheep's clothing. Well, if I am, I repent. I don't want to be a wolf in sheep's clothing, that's for sure. That is for sure. You shall know them by their fruits. By their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but the corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. We are to bring forth good fruit. If we are bringing forth bad fruit, we need to repent so that we would start bringing forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Sounds like hell to me. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. By their fruits you shall know them. Yes, we want to judge people, not their hearts, but we want to look at the fruits of people. Do these people lead me closer to Jesus? Do these people lead me closer to the Father? Are these people into the world? You see, if they don't lead me closer to Jesus, dump them. Dump them. You do not need people that lead you away from Jesus. You say, then I won't have any friends. Well, you know what? Make friends with people that love Jesus. Make friends with people that love Jesus. It's very important that we make friends with people that love Jesus. I love to be challenged by the people around me that love God more than I do. And I'm not jealous of that. I just say, isn't that wonderful? I want to be like them. Not jealousy. I want to be like them. They love God so much. I want to be like them. Wherefore, by your fruits ye shall know them. It's as simple as that. By your fruits you shall know them. Good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces rotten fruit. If a person's life is into all bad things, you must say, you know what? You need to repent. You don't dump the person. You tell the person they need to repent. They need to turn away from their sin. You do not judge their heart. You judge their actions. You judge their fruit. And it's okay. It's okay. But you do it with love. You do it with love, that you need to repent. God is calling you to Himself. He called you to repent. A good tree produces good fruit. What's the good fruit? Love. Love in action. Love in action. Faith working through love. A good tree produces good fruit. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. This is the will of the Father, that no one who comes to me will I ever reject. The will of the Father is to give our lives to Jesus. I said to the people that came yesterday, when we die, God is going to say to us, what did we do with Jesus, his Son? What did we do with Jesus, his Son? You see, he says, no one who comes to me will I ever reject. That's the will of God. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out devils in your name? In your name have we done wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I tell you, That's a scary passage. That's a scary passage. The only thing I can tell you is I just need to keep coming to Jesus. He says, no one who comes to me will I ever reject. I just need to be giving my life to Jesus over and over again. I need to be asking the Lord to lance my heart so that my heart would give forth good fruit. Yes, good fruit. It's very wonderful. Yesterday, around our table, I'm looking at the people that are there. I was one of them. And I say, you know, Lord, we're all here. We're broken. We're broken, but we're here. And we're here to eat as well as to pray. My Lord, there are people that were at my table yesterday that many people would never invite. And that's sad, because that's just the way it is. Jesus said, when you give a reception, go after the blind, the lame, the people that can't invite you back. That's what Jesus said. And that's the ones that were around my table last night. Not all of them. Some of them have invited me back. But there were some that would never invite me back. Is that because I'm a good person? No. It's because I attract people that are broken. Why? Because I am broken, and you are broken, and the only fix-it is Jesus. He is the one who fixes the brokenness. No one else but Jesus. As Sadie used to say, no one can help you but Jesus, for no one but Jesus knows how. I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Therefore, whosoever hears these words and these sayings of mine, the last three chapters, and does them, that does the word of God, he is like the wise man who built his house upon a rock, and the rains came, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall. Why? For it was founded upon a rock. What are you founded upon today? Your feelings? You say, I don't feel that God loves me. I'm telling you, he loves you anyway. I don't feel God today, so that means that I'm not loved today. No. What about faith? Use your faith. God loves you. How do I know that? He sent Jesus Christ to bear your sins and my sins. God loves you, and he's never going to stop loving you, because that's his nature. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall. Why? For it was founded upon a rock. Who is the rock that we are founded upon? The name of the rock is Jesus Christ. We are founded upon the rock of Christ. He is the rock. We need to give our lives to Jesus. We have no life of our own. Our life has to be the life that he gives us. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house on sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. Why? With the great fall. Why? Because it was built upon sand. We do not want to build our lives upon the sand. We want to build our lives upon Jesus. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look straight in his glorious face. And the cares of the world, they will fall dimmer still by the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Again, he tells us, no one who comes to me will I ever reject. No one is the no one. I've said to people, if Jesus rejects you, if you come to him, I'm going to just walk away from him. But Jesus rejects nobody. No one who comes to me will I ever reject. Why? For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And it is the will of him who sent me that I should lose nothing of what he has given me, but that I should raise it up on the last day. What have we learned from the Sermon on the Mount? It's the man on the mount that's the most important thing. His name is Jesus. Not only the sermon, but the man on the mount is the most important thing. We learn that the poor, the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. We've learned that those who mourn are going to be comforted. We learned when people persecute us, we should rejoice, because that's how they persecuted the real prophets. We learned that we are the salt of the earth. Yes, the salt of the earth. And we are the light of the world. The church is the light of the world. And we need to shed that light like a lighthouse. We need to shed that light because people are walking in darkness and they do not know what to do. People are walking in darkness and they do not know what to do. We are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill cannot be hidden. We do not want to place our light under a bushel basket. We want to put it on the lampstand so that people will see the light and that people will come to Jesus, that they will see the fruit of our life and they would come to Jesus. Jesus said, "Think not that I have come to destroy the law and the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill the law and the prophets." And we remember Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah. Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, yes. Jesus said that if we look with our eyes upon a woman, we commit adultery because we lust in our heart. It's not only the act, but it's the lust in our heart. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Look straight in his wonderful face. Keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus, not upon lusty things. Do not go into the computer looking for filth, because you will become what you look at. That's real. You will become what you look at. You must say, "I am addicted." Well, I know someone who can break the addiction. His name is Jesus, and I'll tell you how to do it. Get on your knees every single day and ask Jesus to keep you far away from pornography. Every single day, that he give you the grace to keep you from pornography, and at the end of the day to get on your knees and thank him for what he has done. Jesus told us that we are to love our enemies. I remember when I was in seminary, the first year, we were studying the New Testament, and we were in somebody's room, and one person said to the guy whose room we're in, "Wouldn't you love to know the scriptures like Tom?" And he said out loud, "I'm there. I wouldn't like to do anything like Tom." I remember going to my room that night, falling on my knees, saying, "Jesus, help me not to hate this person. Help me to love this person." Well, when he became a deacon, I was 1 year behind, he came up to me and said, "You have been the most inspirational person in this seminary for me." He's the same one that said, "I don't want to do anything like Tom." But you see, God changed him, and he changed me. I wasn't going to hate him. By the gift of the Holy Spirit, by the grace of God, God changed him. And God changed me too, because there was no hate in me for this person. It's very simple. We are to love our enemies. We are to do good to those who persecute us. We are to give, and it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, and running over into the folds of our cloak. We are to give, G-I-V-E, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. If we are children of the Father, we have to give. We have to give from what we have. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Please, I need to hear from you so we can pay our August bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Remember today, no one's going to be rejected who comes to Jesus. I don't care what you've done or how many times you've done it. I don't care if you're a drug addict. No one will be rejected who turns to Jesus Christ. No one. No one. No one. That means you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.